ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड इंस्ट्रक्शंस फॉर सिविलाइज्ड ह्यूमन बीइंग्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 62 I thought it is okay. I got confused, maybe that was yesterday as well. So we'll recite the verse. If you can follow, you can just follow. Bhavadvaitam kriyadvaitam Dravyadvaitam tatatmanah Vartayan svanubhutyeha त्रीन स्वप्नान दुनुते मुनिहि। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डूइंग ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन आफ्टर कंसिडरिंग द वननेस ऑफ एग्जिस्टेंस एक्टिविटी एंड पैराफर्नेलिया एंड आफ्टर रियलाइजिंग द सेल्फ टू बी डिफरेंट फ्रॉम ऑल एक्शंस एंड रिएक्शंस द मेंटल स्पेकुलेटर Muni, according to his own realization, gives up the three states of wakefulness, dreaming and sleep. Purport. The three words Bhavadvaita, Kriyadvaita and Dravyadvaita are explained in the following verses. However, one has to give up all the non-duality of philosophical life in the material world and come to the actual life of reality in the spiritual world in order to attain perfection. So, I seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees for trying to speak some words from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So today, we are reading from the seventh canto, chapter 15, text 62. So in this verse, Narada Muni is actually continuing his instruction to Maharaj Yudhishthir. He is telling that how the mental speculator or the Muni, he actually considers the oneness of existence, activity and paraphernalia, and then after getting this realization, he gives up the three states of wakefulness, dreaming and sleep. So one thing, Prabhupada is actually in the following, the next three verses, Prabhupada, Narada Muni is going to explain what are these three oneness. Oneness of existence, activity and paraphernalia. So I would just like to focus on this particular sentence in the purport in which Prabhupada is saying one has to give up all the non-duality of philosophical life in the material world and come to the actual life of reality in the spiritual world in order to attain perfection. So one may philosophically speculate and come to the conclusion that ultimately, everything is one. But then, just simply understanding philosophically that everything is one, that's not sufficient. One has to come to the reality of what is the life in the spiritual world. So this description of the spiritual world is given in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which Lord Brahma is telling to the demigods, the course of narration of how the demons Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha took birth. So in that, during that course of narration, Lord Brahma is actually describing the Vaikuntha planets. So how the four Kumaras, once they went to the Vaikuntha planets, and then they were stomped by the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha planets. So it is very important to understand this description, because It's like I remember that many years back when I was at my hometown in the South India, some of my uncles, like they were working in the bank, but then they would actually deliberately avoid getting promotion. So usually one will be surprised if somebody is like working in a company or bank, like somebody wants to avoid getting promotion. And I wonder, why does he want to avoid getting promotion? Because like when they would be promoted, compulsorily they have to go for like 4 or 5 years, they will be transferred to some place in the North India. And then like that means like so much of trouble. Like first of all, they have to learn the language, and then their children, they have to be admitted in a particular school. Like they have to learn other language, and their different lifestyle, different culture, different food habits. So it will become difficult for one to adopt. Like even for example, suppose you are working in a bank. Suppose one day you get a transfer order. You are transferred to some place in Assam. So you'd be like completely taken aback. Like, because when you are going to some remote place which you are not used to, the culture, habits, the lifestyle, if a person is not used to, then like he will find completely out of place. Even if he forced to go there, after some time he will come, he'll want to come back to the same place. So similarly, because when we come to Krishna consciousness, we hear that there is a spiritual world, and ultimately we are all aspiring to go to the spiritual world. But then, if we want to go to the spiritual world, just like we want to go to a particular place, we would like to know what are the habits and lifestyle, what are the climate, what is the nature of the people in the world. Similarly, when we want to go to the spiritual world, we should have information, we should know that what is the lifestyle of people in the spiritual world. So this description is actually given in the third canto, chapter 15. So in this verse, Lord Brahma is saying, Vaimanika salalana charitani shashvat gayanta yatra shamala kshapanani bartu. In this Vaikuntha planets, the inhabitants of the Vaikuntha planets, they travel in airplanes along with their wives. So in the Vaikuntha planets is filled with all opulences. Like we also have airplanes, but then it is said that one of the main causes of global warming is actually airplanes, because airplanes, they produce so much of carbon dioxide and they almost deplete the ozone layer. So we also have technology, but then this technology actually, it may solve some problem, but it gives rise to some other problem. Suppose you are carrying a burden, load in your head. If you shift the load and then put it in the shoulder, there's no difference. You are basically shifting the burden. Or if you are having a bad dream, in order to counteract the bad dream, if you have a good dream, will that be sufficient to counteract the effect of bad dream? Or if people have the problem of walking, so they invented cars. But then after the cars and different vehicles are invented, there's so much of pollution, so then there is breathing problem. So our technology is actually very imperfect. But in the Vaikuntha planets, there are actually airplanes in which the inhabitants travel. But then those airplanes do not have the problems which we face in the material world. And what do? The inhabitants of Vaikuntha planets, they travel in the airplanes. Gayanti yatra shamala kshapanani bartu. They sing about the glories of the Supreme Lord, which are devoid of all inauspicious qualities. And they sing these glories for eternity. So Lord's qualities are completely devoid of any inauspicious nature. They are always auspicious. Like for many times people actually say that why did actually Krishna marry 16,108 queens? Why did Krishna perform the Rasa Leela? Why did Krishna dance with other men's wives in the middle of the night? So one may say, oh, okay, Krishna married 16,108 queens. But then it is described in the third canto, in one of the verses, it is said that after Krishna arranged for the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty, he was sitting under the small banyan tree with his right foot on his left thigh. And at this time, Krishna had given up all the household affairs. Krishna had married 16,108 queens. Usually, when a person has a certain facility in any particular ashram, and when that particular facility is taken away, like one will be actually morose. Here, Krishna had 16,108 queens, and Krishna had 10 sons from each of his wives, and from each of his sons, he had 10 sons. So many grandsons, so many sons, so many 16,108 palaces. But then, after Krishna, although Krishna gave up all the 16,108, Krishna gave up all his household affairs, it is described that Krishna looked very cheerful. People only criticize that why did actually Krishna marry 16,108 queens? But then they do not see this aspect. That after Krishna gave up all the household affairs, he looked completely cheerful. So that means Krishna's actually marrying so many wives, it is not on the material platform. Krishna is completely self-sufficient. Like once Chaitanya Charan Prabhu was giving the example, he was saying that like the moral rules, the moral principles in this material world, they show us the path as to how to lead one's life in the material world. The moral principles are just like a lantern which gives light when there is darkness. But then, lantern is completely insignificant when there in the presence of a sun. So similarly, when Krishna is present, the moral principles have no value. When Krishna appears, although he may seemingly break so many moral principles, but then it does not matter, because in the presence of Krishna, all these moral principles are completely insignificant. That is why Krishna's qualities are completely devoid of any inauspicious nature. A few weeks back, when Gaurang Prabhu was giving the Bhagavatam class, he was narrating this pastime of Gopinath stealing the sweet rice for Madhavendra Puri. That it is described, usually when a person steals something, it would be like a shame on the person. It would not be like advertised. Like when we see in the newspaper, when somebody is like caught, a criminal, they put a mask around them. Or when there is some controversial news, they will put some name and then the bracket they will write, name changed. But then here it is described, when Kshirchor Gopinath, he stole sweet rice for Madhavendra Puri, but it was being publicized very widely. So Krishna's stealing is actually publicized very widely. And not only that, the pujari told Madhavendra Puri that Gopinath has stolen sweet rice for you. There is nobody who is as fortunate as you. Usually when a person enjoys the stolen property, he will also be actually criticized. But then, here Madhavendra Puri is considered to be most fortunate because Gopinath has stolen sweet rice for him. So in this way we can understand that the Supreme Lord's qualities are completely auspicious. Kshapanani Bharatu. Shamala Kshapanani Bharatu. And then it is described, when the inhabitants of the Vaikuntha planets, when they glorify the Supreme Lord, there is also the wonderful Madhavi flowers. Antar jalenu vikasan madhu madhavinam gandena kanditadiyop anilam kripanta. So there is the Madhavi flowers which were actually laden with fragrant honey. But then, so intoxicating that smell is. Anybody who gets that smell, he would want to smell that. But then, this inhabitants of Vaikuntha planets, they do not actually care about this fragrance which emanate from the Madhavi flowers. But then they continue to sing the glories of the Lord. Prabhupada writes in the purport that they consider glorification of the Lord more important than their own sense gratification. Serving the Lord in transcendental love yields such transcendental pleasure that in comparison, sense gratification is counted as insignificant. So, it is said, sense gratification and Krishna consciousness go ill together. Like suppose if there is a circus. In a circus, suppose if a person is going on a horse, he is keeping one leg on one horse and the other leg on the other horse. How long can he walk, keeping one leg on one horse and the other leg on another horse? After some time, he has to take out one of the leg and put both the legs on either one of the horse. He can't continue that for long. So similarly, at a certain point, one has to choose either sense gratification or Krishna consciousness. It's not possible to continue both Krishna consciousness and sense gratification. They go ill together. In fact, when a person has uncontrolled senses, one cannot actually focus on any activity. Even to achieve some material benefit, one has to actually control the senses. Once one devotee was giving the example, he was saying that, like in the medical field, there is this Dr. Freud. He was considered as the father of psychology. In fact, this person, he actually started a philosophy. He actually started propagating a philosophy. He said that a boy has a natural attraction towards the mother and the daughter has a natural attraction towards the father. So when people actually artificially curb this attraction, then that is the cause of so many social problems. In fact, he propagated the philosophy of free sex. In fact, since he was propagating, he was also indulging in that. But then, after propagating that for a few years, he actually wanted to write a book. But in order to write the book, he practiced celibacy for 4 years. So we can see that even for actually getting focus to focus on a material task, one has to actually control the senses. And another point is, sense gratification actually makes one tired. There is one interesting verse in the fourth canto in which Lord Brahma is actually going to the abode of Lord Shiva in order to pacify Lord Shiva. So there, the abode of Lord Shiva, the Kailash planet, is actually described. In which it is described that in the Kailash planet, many damsels from the heavenly planets, after enjoying sense gratification with their husbands, they actually enter the rivers of Nanda and Alaknanda in order to take bath. They became very tired after enjoying sense gratification. So there Prabhupada writes in the purport that although the damsels of the heavenly planets, although they enjoy sense gratification, but then they became morose after their sense gratification. And although they accept sex as the bodily demand, but then they are not happy. So that is why they became very much tired and then they actually enter the rivers in order to alleviate their tiredness. So sense gratification makes a person tired. On the other hand, when a person engages in devotional service, that he actually experiences newer and newer pleasure. So although in the conditioned platform, at least for myself, I do not experience newer and newer pleasure. But then we actually see examples in the scripture that how devotees are experiencing newer and newer pleasure. It is described, if we read in the third canto, fourth canto, we can see this quality of Vidura very consistently exhibited by Vidura, that how he was so eager to actually hear from Maitreya Rishi. In fact, after the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj was described, it is described that Maitreya Rishi says that Narada Muni went to the sacrificial arena of the Prachetas and he spoke these following three verses about the glories of Dhruva Maharaj. Then immediately in the next chapter, Vidura asked the question, who are these Prachetas? What sacrifice did they perform? Which family did they come from? Why did Narada Muni go to the sacrificial arena of Prachetas? And what else did he describe in the sacrificial arena of the Prachetas? So Vidura was like, Maitreya just happened to just gave this information, but Vidura was very eager to hear, what did he speak? Who are these Prachetas? So Vidura was actually experiencing newer and newer pleasure. Again, in the fourth canto, when Narada Muni was, when Maitreya Rishi was describing about Prithu Maharaj, again Vidura says, like, who is there in the world who will not try to hear about Prithu Maharaj? Maitreya Rishi narrated about Prithu Maharaj briefly, but then Vidura is saying, please narrate about Prithu Maharaj in great detail. Who in this world will not try to hear about such a great king like Maharaj Prithu? I want to hear more. Please narrate more. So we can see that sense gratification makes one tired, but then Krishna consciousness gives one newer and newer happiness when a person practices it with great attention and care in right consciousness. And another point here is, the inhabitants of Vaikuntha planets, they are so much absorbed in glorifying the Supreme Lord that they do not care about the circumstances. Like one devotee, Nandadulal Prabhu, he was sharing a nice point. He was saying that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, before actually trying to write this 10th canto commentary, he was feeling that he was wanting to write the commentary in the 10th canto, but then he was feeling that, how can I write commentary on the 10th canto? 10th canto is like the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's compared to the face of the Lord Krishna. So how can I glorify about Lord Krishna's activities? I am completely unqualified. Like that he was thinking. If I write, only the devotees will only think, only laugh at me. Sometimes, like, we also feel, oh, maybe if I speak, what will I speak? People only laugh at me. So similarly, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur was thinking, if I speak, what will others think? The devotees will only laugh at me when I write commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. And then he said, but then how can I stop glorifying Lord Krishna? So even if devotees only laugh at me, at least I will give the pleasure to the devotees that at least they will actually enjoy a good laugh. Even if I do not glorify the Lord properly, but at least I will get the benefit of giving some happiness to the Vaishnavas. So I do not care about what others will think, but I will glorify the Supreme Lord. So in this way, the Vaikuntha planets, the inhabitants of Vaikuntha planets, they are also so much absorbed. Like, again, we see another example in the example of Parikshit Maharaj. In the 10th canto, when Shukadeva Goswami is actually starting to describe about this killing of Putana, he starts describing that how this Kamsa is so cruel-hearted, and he is sending this Putana to kill Lord Krishna, and he is sending Putana to kill all the newborn children in the region of Nanda Gokul. So when Sukadeva Goswami narrates this, Parikshit Maharaj becomes, he was so much absorbed in the pastime that he becomes so much concerned, he becomes so much fearful that how can actually, like Krishna is going to be, Krishna is in trouble. He was actually completely fearful. So immediately, Sukadeva Goswami shifts the camera from Kamsa's palace to the Ganges, to the bank of the Ganges. He says that when a person simply hears and chants about the Supreme Lord, such a person becomes protected from all dangers. What to speak of when Krishna is personally present? One will not get any dangers. So in this way, Sukadeva Goswami is pacifying Parikshit Maharaj. Like, there was an example, like one person was acting as Narsingadev in a drama. He was so much absorbed in the role of Narsingadev, he actually killed Hiranyakashipu, the person who acted as Hiranyakashipu. So then this person was accused. They filed a court case. And others were supporting, no, he is actually a honest person. Like, he does not have any bad attitude. Like, because he is so much absorbed, that is why he happened to kill. You should not punish him. And then later they gave him the role of Dasharath Maharaj. And he was so much absorbed that when Lord Ram left, he actually died. So this is like example of absorption. Like, we have the example of Vamsidas Babaji. Like, once there was this locomotive train was going, he started shouting, "Oh Shyam Sundar, oh Shyam Sundar," like that. He started shouting. Like, others got completely confused. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, he actually thinks the locomotive train, he thinks the engine to be Krishna, who is followed by the gopis. He thinks that Krishna is performing the Rasalila and that the gopis are following him. So in this way, we can see that how the devotees are so much absorbed. That means, like, although at present we may not be in the platform, at least we can actually come to know that there is actually higher happiness. So that is why they are absorbed. Like, when once Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, like, somebody was cooking, and then she was cooking in a wrong manner. Then Prabhupada came. Prabhupada increased the flame. And this lady devotee, she decreased the flame. And then Prabhupada again increased the flame. Then she again decreased the flame. It happened 4 times. Then Prabhupada said, "Don't interfere with me. I know what I am doing. I can make a feast for 100 people in just in 45 minutes. So Prabhupada was a person who was so much focused and absorbed that he can do so much of service in such a small time. Once in the disappearance day of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada made a special khichdi, which was actually favorite of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Very simple khichdi. And then thus khichdi was so much tasty, then the devotees actually tasted that khichdi, they actually stopped talking. And they actually started scrubbing even the last particle which were there stuck in the bottom of the khichdi vessel, and they started eating the khichdi. So because Prabhupada was so much absorbed in cooking, then that had a transformative effect on the people. Then the next verse, the inhabitants, Lord Brahma describes, Paravatanya Britasa Rasa Chakravaka Datyuha Hamsa Shukatitiri Barhinamya Kolahalo Viramate Chiramatra Muchai Bringadipate Harikatam Ivagayamane. It is described, in the Vaikuntha planets, there are many wonderful birds are there. There are birds like pigeons, cuckoo, crane, chakravak, gallinule, swan, parrot, partridge, so many birds. So it is not that Vaikuntha planets do not have any variety. Once somebody asked Prabhupada, like, why the Lord came in five features as Panchatattva? Why did he not come as a single person? What is the need of five persons? Prabhupada said, variety is the mother of enjoyment. So there are so much of variety in the spiritual world. So there are many wonderful birds are there, and all these birds are known for their good singing. And when these birds, when they hear the singing of the king of the bumblebees, glorifying the Supreme Lord, they stop their own singing. And then they listen to the singing of the bumblebees. Like, when Sri Anand Prabhu, he was saying, like, when a person actually is presenting a seminar or a lecture, there are three things which are important. Like, one is, the presentation should be, sometimes people's presentation may be content oriented. They may focus more on the content. Yes, like suppose, on this particular chapter, such and such page, it is described like that. On this particular verse, it is described like that. They are more focused on the content. And somebody may be more focused on the audience, having interactive presentation or cutting some jokes or giving some examples relevant to the audience. Or somebody is present, or another aspect of presentation is like body language and the accent. So it is clearly understood. So a good presentation is supposed to be a balance of all these three. Content oriented, accent oriented, and the audience oriented. But in the material world, if a person's presentation, if it is, people may appreciate the presentation even if it is not content oriented, even if there is no good content in the presentation, but if the presentation is audience oriented, if there is some good jokes, or if it is interactive, or if it is like if it's speaking in a good accent, or if it's speaking in a flashy manner, still people may appreciate it. But in the spiritual world, even if the presentation is not oriented towards the audience, in the sense it may not be interactive, giving examples related to the audience, or one may not have a good body language. But if the content is Krishna, then it does not matter if the presentation does not have the other two aspects. Then the inhabitants of the spiritual world, they are actually focused so much in the content, they do not care about the other two aspects. So that is the quality of the people in the spiritual world. So then, we can see another aspect here is, like we see in this verse, that this king of the bumblebees is singing, it is not known for his good singing, but still the other birds which are known for their good singing, they stop their own singing to hear hear from the bumblebees. And then it is described, the king of the bumblebees, it is actually singing in a high pitch. When a person sings in a high pitch, you may not like it. Just like when a person speaks in a bad accent, it may not be difficult to hear. But then the other birds, they do not care about whether the person sings in a high pitch. But then, because he is singing about Krishna, so we will stop our own singing, but we will hear from the bumblebees. Then Prabhupada writes in the purport, in the material world, even an ass enjoys his own sound vibration. But in the Vaikunthas, such nice birds as the peacock, the chakravak, and the cuckoo prefer to hear the vibration of the glories of the Lord from the bees. Like, so we can see in the spiritual world there is absolutely no greed. Like some years back, one devotee was scheduled to give a lecture on overcoming greed. So this devotee, he prepared for so many days to give a lecture on overcoming greed. Then the last moment, on that day, one senior Prabhupada disciple had arrived. And then it was a Prerna festival. Then he actually came and sat and gave the lecture. Although, like, he was not told. So he sat and gave the lecture. He saw that, like, he saw in the notice board there is topic overcoming greed and the program is going to be there. He came and sat and gave the lecture. So then another devotee commented. So this devotee who was supposed to give this lecture on overcoming greed, and then this devotee said, this person has proved that he has no greed. That although he worked so hard to give lecture on overcoming greed, at the last moment somebody came and gave the lecture, and then this person was not at all affected. So he said, this person has proved that he has no greed. And then he said about the other Prabhupada disciple, and he has proved that he has greed to glorify Krishna. Although he was not invited to speak, he came, without being invited, he came and sat and he spoke about Krishna. So this is actually the nature of the people in the spiritual world. They have no greed for any material desires. And then they are so much greedy to glorify about the Supreme Lord. Like in one of the classes, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was saying that Hiranyakashipu, when you read the seventh canto, when Hiranyaksha was killed, all the relatives of Hiranyaksha, they were actually mourning. They were in so much of sorrow. That time Hiranyakashipu starts preaching to the relatives of Hiranyaksha. So in that, in one of the verses, he actually quotes the story of like how Yamaraj came to preach to the relatives of one particular king when that king died. So in that, Hiranyakashipu quotes a particular verse in which he says, that ultimately, the Supreme Lord, he is the creator, maintainer, and the destroyer of everything. So then, like, everything is under the control of the Supreme Lord. Since you are not the controller, and ultimately the body is temporary, soul is eternal, so why are you actually mourning for the dead body? So he preached. He actually preached that the Lord Vishnu is the Supreme. But then, the same Hiranyakashipu Maharaj was saying that when Prahlad Maharaj came to Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj. Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad Maharaj through so many ways. But then Prahlad Maharaj was not getting killed. Hiranyakashipu asked, from where are you getting the power? So Prahlad Maharaj said, I am getting the power from the same source from which you are getting the power, from the same Lord Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu became so angry, then he took out his sword and then he was about to kill Prahlad Maharaj. So we can see here, Hiranyakashipu spoke the same philosophy, but then he was not ready to hear the same philosophy from Prahlad Maharaj. So that is actually person in material consciousness. But then, we have another example in the fourth canto. In the fourth canto, Prithu Maharaj, if you read, there's one particular chapter called Instructions of Maharaj Prithu. So Prithu Maharaj was giving instructions to his citizens. He was telling that how the Supreme Lord is great, how you should perform devotional service in various verses. So then it is described when he was giving instruction to the citizens, and then citizens thanked the Maharaj Prithu. And then in the sacrificial arena, the four Kumaras appear. So then, Prithu Maharaj, immediately, he worships the four Kumaras. And then he actually starts speaking to the fourth Kumaras. He says that please tell us that how can people whose only aim is actually sense gratification, how can such people actually advance? How can, and then he says that I am actually completely in the darkness of ignorance. Please tell me that how can I advance? Please tell me how to actually achieve the goal of life. So just few minutes back, Prithu Maharaj was giving detailed instructions to his own citizens, what is the ultimate goal of life, how they should execute devotional service. But then few minutes later, when the four Kumaras appeared, he put himself in a ignorant condition, he was ready to hear from the four Kumaras. So this is the actually consciousness of a person in the spiritual platform, that he is not only ready to speak, but then he is also ready to hear from others. And then the next verse, the Lord Brahma says, Mandara kunda kurabod pala champa karna punnaga naga bakulam buja parijata gandher chite tulasika baranena tasya yasmin tapas sumanaso bahumanayanti. So again, in the Vaikuntha planets, there are many wonderful plants which give wonderful flowers. Like Prabhupada actually translates, in the word-to-word translation, he actually translates mandara as mandara, kunda as kunda. So we may not even hear about these plants in the material world. It may be very rare in Kali Yuga. So, but then so many varieties of plants are there. Mandara, kunda, kurabaka, utpala, champaka, etc. And although these plants are full of transcendental fragrance, and although they produce so many wonderful flowers, but then they are conscious of the austerities performed by Tulasi. Because Tulasi is given special preference by the Lord, who garlands himself with Tulasi leaves. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, like, if you see the Tulasi plant do not have much fragrance like those other plants. And it does not have many wonderful flowers like the other plants. But then these plants are very much conscious of the austerities performed by Tulasi, because Lord gives special preference to Tulasi Devi. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that there is no envy in the spiritual world. So that is a special, actually, quality of people in the spiritual world. Like in one class, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was saying that being envious of others, actually there is no use. Like suppose, when a person is actually falling from the cliff, at that time, if he is having ill feelings about others, is there any use of those ill feelings about other people when he is falling from the cliff? There is absolutely no use. And then he said, actually the fact is that we are actually falling from the cliff right from the moment we have taken birth in the material world. So there is no use of actually being envious of others. And when a person actually envies of others, it actually puts more burden on oneself. And then it only spoils us. Like once a teacher told a student, like when you have ill feelings towards others, you put one potato in a basket. And as many times you have ill feelings to others, put so many potatoes, and then daily you bring the basket to me. And then he started putting potatoes, daily he was carrying the basket. Day by day, he was putting more and more potatoes. After 1 month, like the potatoes started stinking. And not only that, it became so much burden to carry those basket. So similarly, when a person envies, it actually stinks. We only stink, that it only spoils us, and then it becomes a burden on us only. Like one purport in the first canto, Prabhupada explains what is actually the cause of envy. He says that, he was giving the example of Narada Muni. He says that people who are in the spiritual platform, they are conducted by one particular desire, that is to go back to the spiritual world. Because they have the highest aim in life, they are not envious of anyone, nor are they proud of going back to the spiritual world. Basically, the cause of envy is the material desires. Because that means when a person has material desires, when a person wants objects of this material world, then it will be certain that some other person will will have the same desires fulfilled in a greater extent. Then when a person sees that, then he becomes envious of others. So these material desires are the root cause. In fact, once Govind Prabhu was saying that when you actually introspect, I'm just speaking for myself because I'm myself not free from envy, but then I feel that maybe I'll become more conscious of it. Once Govind Prabhu was saying that when a person becomes, if he introspect, a person will never be envious of another's spiritual qualities, will only be envious of another's material qualities. So basically the cause is the material desire. So this material desires are such that they are like, when a mind and senses are filled with material desires, then one's consciousness becomes lost. Just like, suppose a lake is there. Lake may have a clear water, but then when there are big stars, big plants are there, those stars will suck up the clear water of the lake. So similarly, when a person continues to have this material desires, it will actually completely suck up all the mind and senses. Then the clear water of consciousness will be completely dried up because of this material desires. So I will just complete with this last few points. What is the benefit of giving up envy? We see this example in the fourth canto. When Prithu Maharaj, he was performing these sacrifices. He was trying to perform 1,100 Ashwamedha sacrifices. Then after the 99 sacrifices, Lord Indra came and then he started stealing the sacrificial horse. Then he came in the disguise of so many, the different sannyasis, and he started stealing. Then to cut the story short, the Lord Brahma came and told Prithu Maharaj, please stop performing the sacrifice because Lord Indra is actually creating so many religious principles. He is propagating so many religious principles. In the dress of a sannyasi, he is stealing the horse. In this way, he is propagating irreligious principles. Then Prithu Maharaj stopped performing the sacrifice. It is like, suppose somebody comes first in the all seven semesters. Then finally in the eighth semester, just before the exam, somebody is told, okay, you stop writing the exam. He is actually expecting for gold medal. And at that time if he is told, okay, you stop writing the exam, then he will be completely taken aback. But then Prithu Maharaj stopped the sacrifice. So this quality of Prithu Maharaj of not competing with Indra captured the attention of Lord Vishnu so much that when Lord Vishnu appeared in the sacrificial arena, Lord Vishnu says, Varam chamat kanchana manavendra vrinishvateham gunashila yantrita naham makairvai sulabatta pobir yogena vayat samachitta varti. Lord Vishnu says, I have been completely captivated by your wonderful qualities, by your wonderful behavior which you have exhibited. And then he says, because of your wonderful behavior, I'm ready to offer whatever benediction you want. And then he says that, like, when a person does not have wonderful behavior, even if he performs so many sacrifices, or even if he performs so many austerities, or even if he has so much of mystic power, such things cannot satisfy me. On the other hand, when a person is completely equipoised in his heart, I reside in the heart of such a person. So Lord Vishnu is completely captured by the behavior which Prithu Maharaj exhibited. In fact, Queen Kunti says, Shrinvanti gayanti grinanti abhikshasha smaranti nandanti tave hitam chana. She says, when a person hears about the Supreme Lord, or when a person chants about the Supreme Lord, or when a person remembers the Supreme Lord, or when a person simply takes pleasure in others doing so, then all these persons will get the same benefit. All these persons will very soon see the lotus feet of the Lord, which will put an end to the cycle of birth and death. So somebody may not be able to hear as attentively as others. Somebody may not be able to chant as attentively as others. But then, if a person simply takes pleasure in others doing so, then actually one will get the same benefit. In fact, the last point is, in fact, Prithu Maharaj, in one of his instruction to the citizens, he says that when a person executes devotional service, both the person who executes devotional service and the person who supports it and the person who directs it, all these persons, they share the benefit after death. So that means, like, actually to take pleasure in others doing so, in one sense it is the easiest thing because you don't have to do anything. But then it is the most difficult thing because it has to come from the heart, because that is a symptom of no envy. So just to summarize, like we saw this description of the people in the spiritual world, because Prabhupada narrated that how simply having a philosophical conviction is not sufficient, but then ultimately one has to come to the reality of what is there in the spiritual world. So the qualities of the people in the spiritual world is, first quality is that they are so much absorbed in glorifying the Lord that they do not care about sense gratification. And there are so much of opulence in the spiritual world. And not only that, and they have no greed at all. And they are so much eager to hear about the Supreme Lord, and they are focused so much on the content of what the person is speaking, they do not care about what the body language or other aspects. And then the next point is that how in the inhabitants of the spiritual world, they absolutely do not have any envy. So in this way, at least by hearing about this, we can at least develop the right aspiration. So I please beg forgiveness if my speech has sounded in an instructive tone. Although myself way behind what I spoke, still I just took the risk of speaking. Shkrantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.